Look, I'm fully aware of how much COVID has messed with our lives this past year. Many of us, for the first time in our lives, have felt trapped, stuck, or even helpless. Now imagine that not just being a year, but a life or a generation of being stuck. That's what happens to kids caught in the cycle of poverty. They are truly stuck. But there is good news. This doesn't have to be their story.
And that's where you come in. I'm sure you didn't wake up this morning thinking, I'm going to be a hero today, but you can. For $38 a month, just about a dollar a day, you can make sure a child living in poverty gets the things they need not only to survive, but to thrive.
You provide your sponsored child food, a better education, clean water, and medical treatment. And here's what I love about partnering with Food for the Hungry. Your gift also helps other kids in the community. So you're not just helping one child, but you're also helping their friends a little as well, because FH wants to build up the entire community.
The other really important part is you get to write to your child and encourage them. This is your faith in action, and your support and the words you share with them will carry and inspire them to accomplish more than they even dreamed possible for themselves.
With everything going on, I know it's easy just to take care of ourselves and put this off till tomorrow, but kids living in poverty, tomorrow feels like an eternity. Plus, I'm telling you that sponsoring one of our Food for the Hungry kids will not only help them, but it will also change you. There is such joy in helping innocent kids who didn't ask for or do anything to deserve this. And we've been blessed with so much in our lives. It's a blessing to be able to sponsor these amazing kids.
It only takes a minute and costs you nothing to see if this is even for you. So check it out, fh.org/Wally Show. Again, that's fh.org/Wally Show. You can also follow FH on Instagram and Twitter.
Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All those things we did not get to during the course of the show today, and hopefully a little bit less psychology on the show today. I got a lot of comments yesterday based on the breaking down of my psyche, and Gavin and Betty actually doing a very good job at asking me poignant questions and a little bit revealing in some of the answers for me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also... put this question out on our Facebook page to our potties.
Yeah.
If you listen to the Aftercast or the podcast and you are not part of the Wally Show potty group, you can do that easily. There is, isn't there a link that we put in the description?
Yeah, they just click on the podcast.
So you can click on that. But also, if you go to facebook.com/Wally Show, you can go to groups and then join it there. So, I posted the question, should Wally have another therapy session?
Interesting. Let's see what some of the reactions were from that. Yeah, cuz I'm not ready to commit to therapy for me. I know a lot of people that do, and I highly recommend it for them.
Most times it's just like once a week.
I'm good.
It was a poll.
Okay.
And I put up the two answers that you could choose from, but other people can add what they want.
Sure.
One of them was, I said, after yesterday's Aftercast, do you think Wally needs another Aftercast/therapy mm-hmm. session? 33 people voted for, heck yes, he's a hot mess. 4 people voted for, nah, there's some things you just can't fix.
Oh, nice.
And then 2 people voted for, always.
Oh, that's funny.
Lisa commented, she said, poor Wally, I was wondering if he doesn't show his good side, because if he does and people judge that and they don't find it good enough, it would make him internalize it too much.
Sort of
a safety mechanism for him to protect himself.
Oh, nice.
So
like
he shows
this.
His bad side. Every can judge, show his bad side, and that all they want, because Wally already knows it's not good. Do you think you do this as a defense mechanism?
I already see
how bad I am, so you don't have to judge me any further.
Yeah, there's so much stuff in psychology that is subconscious, and so sometimes you can be self-destructive. I know I'm very self-destructive, I understand that about myself.
But you think that when you say, you've said this a lot, I understand this about myself, that's like your blanket of your blanket statement of I understand
it,
then I don't have to work through it.
Right.
No. Just because you understand it, that'd be like a murderer understanding. Yeah, I kill people.
But if everybody else,
I get it. Okay. It's just who I am.
It's a good analogy. But if everyone else with anxiety has to put their anxiety on me, and it's like, oh, I have anxiety, you deal with it. Like then that's not fair. It's the same thing. Like I have to
I'm not following you.
I have to tiptoe around everybody else's sensitivities. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm gonna use a gender neutral term now, and you have to accept. Like, no, like, okay, but fine. Like, how, same thing with me. This is how I am, and so you know, I'm not asking anyone to deal with it. I'm just doing
but
me.
You are.
You're not asking you to deal with it.
But
what are you talking about?
Are
we seriously going to do this again?
Yes.
I don't think it's crazy far off from like, oh, why did they do that? Well, he's a, like, or well, I'm an 8, so that's why that happened per se. I don't feel like it's that
it's not
crazy
an excuse.
Far off.
Well, no, because I'm just saying that I understand that this is the way that I am, but I don't. But the problem is, like, okay, if I'm an alcoholic, and I understand I'm an alcoholic, and I go, I have a problem. You have to get to that point where you go, I have a problem, I need to change. That's when you hit rock bottom, and that's when you start to go. I look at myself, my whatever, my narcissism or my mess, and I go, okay, that's who I am, and I'm okay, like, with that. Like, I don't see it as a problem, like, that I'm like, oh, I need to make a change in this. Because I think internally, I can change and alter behavior here and there, but at my core, it is who I am, you know? Like, I was made this way, and I'm not going to change. I can't change my basic inner core. I can't all of a sudden go, oh my gosh, I'm going to be the most positive person on the world. I can fake that.
No one's asking you to be.
I can fake that, but I can't. But I'm saying, but no amount of therapy, no amount of anything is going to make me be somebody different than who I am at my core. So understanding who you are and then knowing how to navigate around it and alter some of your behavior is smart, you know, and I do try to do that.
Okay, let me say a few things.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so no one's asking you to be, you know, like Putin out rainbows. We're not asking you to do that, okay?
I could if I needed to.
What we want is we're not asking you to be happy-go-lucky, Mr. Right. Positivity, because you don't want that. That kind of stuff makes you sick.
Right.
That is who you are.
Right.
That's understandable.
Right.
What's not understandable is being the worst version. Now, I'm not saying you are.
Oh, this is interesting.
The worst version of yourself. I'm saying you are an unhealthy version of yourself. And you will admit that when we are an unhealthy version of ourselves, that leaks out to the people around us. The people that love us, the people that have to be around us. That unhealthiness, even though you're not asking for them to change, they are having to because of your unhealthy mannerisms.
Right.
Also, I'm going to say your analogy about being an alcoholic. You said this once when Demi Lovato was having her thing about the frozen yogurt and how she has a eating disorder and she doesn't want them to give her healthy options because then she feels guilty.
Right.
You were saying if I'm an alcoholic, I don't walk into like a Logan Steakhouse and get mad because they have a poster that's advertising beer or whatever.
Right.
Yes, I think that's what you're associating with, like thinking you're going to go to therapy and now you're expecting people to walk all like make sure that they use the right pronouns kind of thing analogy. What I'm saying is you could be an alcoholic and not expect anyone to change for you, but you're not going to change for yourself either. And when you don't change for yourself, ultimately you're changing it for everyone.
Right. So you're saying that being
that you're
going to
keep drinking, but not that he's an alcoholic.
Right,
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you're still drinking.
Right.
And so we're still having to pay
the consequences
for that.
What you're saying is, though, this is very telling, though, because what you're saying is you talk about paying the consequences, hard to be around, this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that I'm very difficult to work with or be around. That's fascinating to me.
I'm not saying.
Because I give everyone so much freaking space to live in their world and to have their hangups and have their mess, and it affects me too.
Yeah.
But I just let them do. I'm like, okay, you're going to deal with this today, and I'm going to keep doing the show.
Right.
You know?
Right. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, I do like when you are in a healthy space.
Sure.
Like you like me when I'm in a healthy
absolutely.
Space.
Absolutely.
You want that for the people that you care about.
Right.
That's
absolutely.
What I'm saying.
Okay.
I can see a lot of times where you are not in a healthy space and you'll admit that you're not.
Right.
You'll even say it.
Right, right, right.
That's what I'm saying.
Gotcha. Okay. I gotcha. Yeah. Absolutely. Because
you're doing yourself a disservice.
Well, the job that, and I do realize that, I do realize that, yeah, if I'm not in a good place, I'm harder to be around because everything sets me off. And while I might not be mad at you, I'm mad, because I'm very rarely mad at you, Rock. Like, very rarely. Like,
yeah.
We've had a few times in our relationship here where we've butted heads on things. And we
had to have a come to Jesus meeting.
Yeah, and we had to figure it out. And sometimes on your part, sometimes on my part.
Yeah.
And so, but very rarely at work am I mad at you or frustrated with you. That's super rare.
Me, on the other hand.
Gavin, all the time.
Well, that's your fault, Gavin.
I'm never mad at Gavin.
It's not really
Wally's
fault.
You can be mad at Gavin. He's the cutest.
I can.
I know. Well, you get mad at everything.
We're back to unhealthy.
Right. But I do get mad about things that surround me, and I pop off about them, and I vent, and I yell, and that's my way of processing that, and then I calm down, and I productively handle the situation. So I get that that's tiring to be around.
I'm not saying that either. I think you're reading into me saying you're difficult to be around.
Right.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, let's say someone has a mannerism in their personality that you just don't understand.
Right.
Because you don't have it because it wears you out personally.
Right.
So
right.
Me and Gavin are very non-confrontational
right.
people. So you're very confrontational. You'll admit that.
Right.
You are a confrontational person.
Do you know what happens, though? You talk about the give and take between people and how you affect me, I affect you.
Yeah.
The fact that you guys are not confrontational, you're going to find this really hard to believe, amps up my confrontational. Can you feel like you
have to do it for the three of us, in essence? Then?
Yeah, in essence, because inside of what we do for a living, confrontation is typically more interesting. Or something that the places you guys don't like to go...
There's healthy confrontation.
Some, yeah. That's true. But
he says with a smirk.
It's fun, though.
Yeah, exactly.
There's healthy confrontation
right.
and there's unhealthy
right.
confrontation. And I will admit, it is good that you are.
I have to be this
and,
way.
And
yeah.
it's great that you are because
right.
you do. You get things done, whereas Gavin and I may
right.
not, because we'll just settle and we'll be like, well, I don't.
Right.
I'd rather not pay the price.
We become the cow in a field.
Right.
Here,
right.
In essence.
But what I'm saying is, I think when you get angry about something
sure.
and you're just popping off,
right.
popping off about anything and everything,
right.
I associate that with how I would be if I was acting that way, and it wears me out
right.
when I'm in that place. And I have been in that place.
Sure.
So I guess what I'm saying is, when I see you like that, I assume you're feeling the same way I would if I was feeling that way.
Right.
But you've said in the past... Sometimes you like confrontation.
Yes.
You look for it.
I get bored. Yes.
And see, my brain
can't even go there. Exactly.
So when you do that, my right. brain can't understand it.
Right.
And when I am in that place of being as mad as I've seen you before,
right.
I shut down.
Right.
But you don't.
Right.
So all that to say, I am not saying you're a difficult person. I'm saying I associate how you act with how I would be in that
right.
same situation, and it wears me out.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, and I get that. And that I actually do understand. I think for me, I'm starting to understand, too, in that, like, putting it in this frame of mind is that I do understand that I affect your attitude or your desire to be here, your fun in the job, for sure, if I'm in a bad space. And you have believe it or not, you have the same effect on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like earlier this week when you were kind of struggling, you know,
yeah.
and you were tired and you hit your exhaustion, your level brings me down too,
right.
and then I feel like I've got to amp it up, or then I get frustrated quicker, you know, and stuff like that.
Right.
So I think that a takeaway from this is that, because I've been trying to go home like with my wife and not bring my frustration home, because I realize that's exhausting too, and so I probably could try to change or alter the way I initially respond to things if it helps to in order to help you guys out too and
well,
make it not
this
tough.
Isn't a fix Wally situation.
Well, it's 2 days of it so
well,
far.
Well, we are in a therapy situation.
I can't
and
believe
you
we're here.
Did want us to do another break on it in the show. So
yeah.
I think it is something that you do want to talk about it.
Well,
I believe
I want to talk about it because it's good for the radio. Like, I don't care
okay.
personally about whether I get healed or not or healthy or not. It doesn't matter to me. Like, it's all I care about is what are good breaks and content for the air, honestly.
Okay. And one more thing.
Okay.
One more thing. And this isn't a bad thing.
10 more minutes.
This isn't a bad thing.
Go ahead. No, it's fine. Go ahead.
This isn't a bad thing.
No, good. Go ahead. You know I love you. You can say what you can always say what you want to me.
All I'm saying is,
Gavin, on the other hand,
you
haven't been here long enough.
You have said you don't want to take
like
it
that.
Home.
Yeah.
You say that, you know, how I if I'm sleep deprived or snack deprived
yeah.
or whatever, that affects you. Understandably, I
right.
get all of that. What I'm saying is, you could
mm-hmm.
go to a therapist.
Right.
a counselor, if you will, and you pay the money. Hear me out.
Okay.
And they don't say a thing.
Right.
They just sit there and listen.
Yeah.
And you go in and you vent, you yell, sure, and you say it, and you leave it, and you go home. That might be all you need.
Yes, exactly.
All I'm saying.
You know what that's called? That's called a bartender. Like that.
just go to Five Guys and spend a long time ordering.
Oh, I'm kidding. Because I'm totally kidding because I'm not a drinker. But like
for some people,
that's how my buddy, like who I worked with for years, like he, like that's where that was his therapy. He went to the bar and he got to know the bartender and they just talked. And that
do
was
you think
the,
that's
what he did.
Tough?
I don't think that's a good idea. I think it's a really horrible idea because then you're looking at other broken people that, like, for advice, you know, so.
Like,
you might spend the same amount of money on a therapist.
Yeah.
Bartender.
If you heard that Gavin was going to a counselor.
Sure.
Would you think less of him?
I would think that checks out for his generation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Okay.
And I think that checks out for my daughter's generation.
Okay.
And I think that checks out for Rock.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We're getting
it
here.
It doesn't
okay,
check
we're getting...
out for me.
Oh. Now we're getting somewhere. Oh, you sound like
totally
my
different.
Dad.
Totally.
Okay.
I'm wired like your dad.
Yeah.
Danny Ray and I are very
like
similar.
Like boomers.
I love Danny Ray.
But here's the thing. I will agree with you that there are definitely differences between that generation and the younger, like Gavin's generation.
Right.
Whereas my dad's generation and yours now,
sure,
you didn't even talk about mental health.
Nope,
don't
not
even
a
associate
bit.
Because if you talk about it, guys aren't supposed to have feelings. They're supposed to just be
steal with it.
Steal.
Yep.
Whereas Gavin's generation, you do talk about it. You do go and see a counselor.
Yeah.
Now, I will say there is a happy medium somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, you were talking about Haley, your daughter, how, you know, all her friends are saying, I'm anxious, I'm depressed, this is my truth.
Ugh.
And then she'll take that on and make it her identity.
Right.
That's going too far.
I agree.
But on the other hand,
sure,
the boomer side, doing nothing is taking it too far as well.
That's fair. That's
you have
fair.
To be good at like knowing what is worth, like if you need to know what state you're in is worth going to actually talk to a trained professional.
Because
personally, like I would not go to a counselor, and that's not because I don't think that I shouldn't, but it's just that like my life has never had anything so bad happen that I've felt like, oh,
You're like healthy.
If I'm sad, it's like...
Well, and you're young.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're young. And I would say like as life goes on, this is not to sound depressing, but more things can happen. And I have in the past gone to see a counselor multiple times. And it has been therapeutic.
They offer, like a
okay,
refund?
I see where you're going.
Like if it's not working?
Stop. It was nice just to have someone that had no association with the people I was talking about, and they had they were looking from the outside in, and they had a different perspective from something that I couldn't see.
Well, do you know what's interesting
that
is
that made me better for the people around me.
You know, point.
Eventually.
You know, eventually.
There's still days.
It can't happen overnight.
I know. You know how there are people now that are on the left side of the mask debate and they've gotten their shots, but they're like, they're posting, I'm still wearing my mask because I don't want to be seen as a Republican.
Yes.
Do you see? Okay. And so they're very, very passionate. They want so badly not to be seen as that. I see the people that... And I'm going to tread lightly here because I don't want to offend anybody. Honest, truthful, I don't want to offend anybody. And I don't want to ever keep anybody from going and talking to a counselor, like, because I think some people desperately need it and it's very, very valuable for some people.
I think all could use it.
And I see that's where I see it a little bit differently. But like, I don't ever want to be seen as that person that just whines about nothing. And I need therapy and because there are those people and they annoy the crud out of me.
Yes.
And so that's why I'm like that person, you know, the mask wearing person. I don't ever want to be seen like that. And so for me, I just have been taught my whole life, just deal with it, you know, and just do you, you know.
Okay. I get what you're saying.
Right.
And I don't want you to take this in a negative
way. And that person
that
always is like, oh, my therapist says, you want to smack them.
Right. I understand where you're coming from. I get that. Because you don't want to come across as weak.
Right.
You want to come across as steel. You can take care of your own problems.
Absolutely.
Don't need anyone.
Absolutely.
A man on his own island.
Absolutely.
But I'm saying that you're not as...
Invincible?
as steelish or not as hiding of what you're going through on the inside as you think you are.
Oh, no, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I know that. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I know that. Like you.
But that's what I would associate with steel. If you're saying I need to be steel and I need to deal with my own problems, then that would be not talking about it at all, not even showing it.
No, I deal with everything head on myself. Like, I don't need people to help me do stuff. I'll just take care of it. And if someone is not doing what I want them to do, I'll go around them and I'll get it done. But I do wear my heart on my sleeve, my emotions. I'm very emotional. Like, absolutely. Like, if I love something, boy, you know I love it. And if I hate something, boy, you know I hate it. There's very little. And if I'm mad, you know I'm mad, you know. And so that's, I definitely don't hide that.
What would you say to Haley, your daughter?
Yes.
If she was internalizing or gone through the same situations you have in life, internalizing things or externalizing things the way you have. And she was like, no, I don't need help. I'm not going to do it. That's considered weak. I'm not going to do it. What would you say to her?
That's tough, man, because it's filtered through my lens. And my lens would be, I get it. Like, I, you know, so work it out then. You know,
but
like, so don't,
so
don't complain about it. Don't whine about it. Go do something about it. Like work out your situation. You know,
you would say that to her?
Yeah. And
do you feel like that's what you're doing?
Absolutely. I take care of everything myself, you know? And so, yeah, do I get mad about things? Yeah, I get bent about things, but I also go fix them, you know, and I also go confront them when they need to be confronted.
I also think that some people think that they're not capable of figuring out on their own end what's wrong too.
See, I think Gavin, you are just crushing life lately because you're right. There are people that don't, I feel this way and I don't know why. Okay. That is, to me, is the people I think that need therapy. Why do I feel this way? Why am I wired this way? Why can't I be something else? 100% understand that. Me, I'm like, I know why I am the way I am. I get it. I understand what motivates me. I understand what demotivates me. It's part of, you know, what they call emotional intelligence. I have a very good emotional intelligence. I know why I'm doing what I'm doing and what the repercussions are going to be. And I just choose to not worry about it. I just choose to do it anyway, you know? And so that's a really good distinction for people getting therapy in my head. Of people that would need therapy are the ones that can't figure out why I feel this way. And absolutely go get help for that. Absolutely. Get some perspective and somebody saying, well, you know why you do this? It's because of this. I think Enneagram kind of helped me with that too, of saying, okay, this is, you're an eight, so you're wired this way. So that all makes sense. It doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you wired this way. So now you have a choice. If you know you're wired this way, your choice is, do I give into that and just always be that, or do I look at that and alter the behavior? Because I do alter my behavior sometimes. Boy, you guys have no idea. Like again, like the things that I don't say, everyone thinks I say everything that's on my mind. That's not true. That's not true at all. I say good portions, and I'm real honest, but I don't say everything, because my personal dialogue, my inner dialogue about conflict is vicious and brutal. Like, if I were to say the things to people that I want to say to them at work, they would cry, you know? But I alter that to be a good human and to be a better employee, you know?
Now, I know that we all, and you could be too, Potties, have a different understanding of what Enneagram is. I know we posted about it not too long ago on our socials, and people were like, it's of the devil.
No.
Whatever.
I get it.
I know that in the past, we have talked about, you know, there are the healthy levels of an eight.
Sure.
And the unhealthy levels. And I started reading them. And if I remember correctly, you associated with a lot of things weren't at the terrible bottom level of unhealthy eight. But what I'm saying is, wouldn't you want to be a healthy version of an eight?
Sure. That'd be great.
Doesn't sound...
In a perfect world, yeah. But do I think you can stay there long if you're not wired that way? No.
Well, because it takes retraining your brain.
Right.
I mean, that's with anything. If you're constantly thinking negative thoughts, you've got to retrain your brain to start thinking positive instead.
And what's weird is I will go through time like that, and this is the self-destructive part because it feels, you know, good. Like, oh, that is really good, giving that person that just cut me off the benefit of the doubt that they're having a bad day. Like, but then that doesn't last a long time. Like that, then I'm
does.
Person thinks I'm a sucker that they can just cut me off. You know, like they're more important than me, really. You know, and so that's the inner dialogue, but that's the carnal human nature that is there that yes, you do need to fight against. But again, it's so ingrained. And do I believe that it's completely changeable? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I think it's modifiable.
I think you do believe that it's not. I don't think you think it's changeable.
It's not changeable?
Yeah. I think you think that it's like, that's just how I'm going to be. That's how I'm going to die.
I think that most people in life, even once they've had a conversion with Christ, are the person that they were born to be for the rest. Now, you have the people that, like, I used to murder people. Now I don't because I'm a believer. You know, like, okay, that's a pretty
big
change. And you altered your... But do they still have murderous thoughts? I guarantee you they do. But have they modified their behavior? Yes. Like, Paul talks about, like, you know, the things that I want to do versus the things I don't do, the things I don't do that I want to do. Like, even he, the guy who's, like, one of the foundations of our faith, struggled with this. The guy who knew Jesus, like that is a guy. If he struggled with this, it just tells me that that is ingrained in us. And so, yes, do we need to modify our behavior to be better believers and better in this society? And maybe if you do that over time, it will change. But does it completely kill the old you? I don't know that it does, honestly.
I believe we all have weaknesses. There's things that you probably don't even bother with that I do or that Gavin does. We don't know. We all have this weakness side of us. But I don't think that, I think we'll always deal with that. But I don't think that that needs to stop us from becoming the best version we can be for those we love.
Right. And I get that. I get that.
But I wonder if you see counseling, even if it's just someone sitting across the room, you see that as, and I know you don't want to offend anyone. I get that.
Sure.
I mean, I've gone to a counselor, so I'm not offended by it, but you see it as weakness.
I see it as failure to modify what I know I should be able to modify myself. I see it as like you said, I'm the person that goes, I'll solve my own issues.
Yeah.
And I see that as the same thing. I see that as admitting that I couldn't solve my own issue, you know?
So if you die like this.
Right.
But are you still a failure?
No, but you say like if you die like this, like it's almost like a bad thing. Like I don't hate myself, you know. Like I'm not saying you should.
Yeah,
do I have things that I need to? And am I this horrible person? I'm not a horrible person.
No,
you know?
I'm not saying you are.
To people,
right.
Yeah, I'm not saying
you. Some good in this world.
I'm not saying that you are, but I am saying that Wally therapy session was what it was called, has been the main topic.
Yeah, and so, I didn't mean to be. Like, honestly, like 26 minutes on this. Holy cow. Like, this was not intended.
Really at
let me read one thing.
Oh, great.
This is type 8 at their best.
Okay.
So level 1 is the best. Become self-restrained and magnanimous.
Okay.
I don't know what magnanimous is.
Engaging, bigger than life, kind of gravitating. People gravitate towards you.
Yeah. Merciful and forbearing.
Okay.
Mastering self through their self-surrender to a higher authority.
Sure.
Courageous, willing to put self in serious jeopardy to achieve their vision and have a lasting influence.
Absolutely.
May achieve true heroism and historical greatness.
Oh, yeah. I have moments of all of that.
Except for
the greatness.
I will say this. The happiest that I ever see you is when you're helping others.
That is, and then
you turn into a 2.
The crazy thing about the 8 is the 8 is
loyal,
and the 8 fights for the marginalized.
Yes,
and
you're great at that, that's the happiest
that
I've seen you.
Do you want to know what? It's funny that okay, so I'm going to clap you out here, clap Gavin out. Do you want to know what changed in a lot of this, and maybe what's leading to this is we stopped going out of the country. Like every year I knew I was going to take two trips out of the country where I wasn't going to be about me. It wasn't going to be about my life. And it was a good recentering on these kids through compassion or cure, you know, getting help to the kids that could not help themselves. Mm-hmm. And it was altering for me. And because I'm very loyal to that and I'm passionate about that and I wanted to help these kids. And, and so, yeah, that's when I'm the best version of me. Yeah. And it carries too for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like anytime I've seen, and the thing is too, like I know a lot of people don't see this side of you, but you jump at the chance to help. Yeah. Anybody that you love or you're loyal to, you jump at the chance. Maybe people have to beat you off with a stick to say, no, I don't need your help. Yeah. But I will say there are times where we have seen you at an unhealthy state.
Oh, for sure.
But that's with any of us. I'm not saying we're picking on you. Right. I'm saying that's, you can definitely say when you've seen a very unhealthy side of me.
Sure.
And you walked with me through it twice.
That was a long one.
Twice. It was hell on earth. I understand. It was there for me too. But you've seen me at my best too.
Yeah.
And so I'm just saying there are healthy sides and there are unhealthy sides. Mm-hmm. Could we meet somewhere in the middle?
Yeah. Let's be melthy. Or like, wait,
like healthy, messy and healthy?
Messy and healthy, yeah, like melty. Like
melty?
Yeah, right in the middle.
Selfie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm.
I didn't like that.
Okay. All right, well, you know what? We literally don't have time for anything else today. This is.
I could go through it really, really fast.
Let's do birthdays.
Oh, okay.
Let's do birthdays.
Okay, so we've got Amado. Amado?
You say like Amado, tomato. I say Amado.
And Elise.
Oh, by the way, Guillermo emailed me the other day. He was like, hey, this is
Guillermo.
I tried.
So I know.
Good.
I like tried.
This. But he did say, I get that all the time.
Okay.
So.
Sorry about that. This is for their daughter, Amalia. Happy first birthday, day late.
Wow.
But the birthday party is Friday night. Oh, that's
tonight. You're good. Yeah, you're totally good.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
You're in the window.
Caleb to his amazing mom. Happy birthday, Caleb's mom. Also, we've got Aaron to himself. Happy birthday. Celebrating over the weekend. Caden to Shauna. I am her husband. Okay, so Shauna, his wife. Happy birthday. Then Clint to Kelly as well. And then we've got Joel to Lynn. For the past 7 years without fail, she has never been able to travel for her birthday because it always intersects with the events that her kids have at school.
Oh, yeah.
So have you ever had another event steal the spotlight on your birthday?
Oh, yeah. Betty does every year. Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah. Me. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Every
year. I can't go to a Mexican restaurant.
But this year you did.
I did, but I went early.
What's wrong with you?
But I went early and I thought it was just going to be the two of us.
At a Mexican restaurant on Cinco de Mayo.
I was wrong on both counts. Totally wrong.
Yeah, I can't. Mine was always in August. And so, like, school didn't happen. It was always the worst. There was nothing going on. But, like, vacations for other kids would jack with my birthday party. So, like, I'd want to have.
So you didn't have anybody?
No, I'd want to have a birthday party and, like, I'd send out the invitation. And they're, thank the Lord, we didn't have social media back then because, like, oh, I'm on vacation, I'm in Disney, yay. And then I could look at their Facebook now and be like, you're not at Disney. Like, you're at home in your room playing Xbox, you know. So that at least saved me some pain and some therapy.
Some.
Let's do
none.
Gavin, for you?
Not really. The only thing that would ever mess with it would be like, birthday in November, and if we lived in colder places and we wanted to do something outside for the birthday.
Cold weather, yeah.
Yeah, but then you just bounce back. You go do laser tag, do something
and
outside.
Cake tastes better inside anyway.
Yeah.
So that's all you really care about.
Nothing
for your
crazy.
Birthday. All right. Well, do you want to do it?
Yes.
Wake up plans.
Everyone's got a wake up plans.
Wally. I'm going to work some this weekend.
Oh.
I'm going to do stuff around the house, but I've still got a presentation.
Wait, work
I'm
as in
on.
Like work on the house or work on work? On
both.
Work.
I got both. I got work to do this weekend. I save some of the work that I have during the week that I want to be able to spend more creative time on, and I'll do it. Like, I'll get up early Saturday morning and kind of work on that while my wife's asleep or something. Because it just, I know, but it just, it's my process. It's like I need more time.
That's your time.
I'm building the show every day, that's like, like the factory work of it. And then, so at least on the weekend, I'm like, okay, now I can just think about this for next week or whatever. So, yeah that's probably it.
Lady Rock. Are y'all going back to church?
Oh, you know what? That's a great question. I think, She had mentioned we were closer. My wife was. I'm like, there's no. We went to Marshall's. You know, there's no reason we shouldn't go to church if we're going to Marshall's.
Yeah,
and we're
just
mask.
Any restaurant.
Yeah,
I mean, any,
yeah, exactly.
It's the
I'm
same
like,
thing.
That's why I told her. I said, baby, you're doing all this stuff anyway, and it's like they're still keeping you separated at church. Like it's not a big deal. Like I don't. And I think she's ready.
Oh,
to go.
I thought you didn't want to support this. You
no,
like
I'm
a bagel
supporting
church.
It for her. I'm supporting it for her. Oh, bagel church is the best.
That's what I thought.
Bagel church.
Oh, I would never go back. I would always watch church online now. It is so. So
who
great
needs people.
I did exactly, but we have a like Ron and not Ron, Paul and Rhonda, who we love, and mm-hmm. we haven't seen them in so long, and their girls are growing up, and we would go to lunch with them every Sunday,
yeah.
and so I think we ran into them, we talked about that, we're like, oh, we missed that, so I think Marty's definitely looking forward to that as well, as am I,
yeah.
So that'll be good.
Oh, okay.
Lady Rock.
I don't really have anything affirmatively planned.
Weekend plans. No one's got a weekend plan.
It's not because I want to share what I'm doing. I just want to hear what y'all are doing.
Yeah. My wife asks me every day I get home.
See? I'm doing it for Marty.
What are Betty and Gavin doing? And then I usually remember one of them. I don't always remember both stories.
We can tell her I have nothing
That'll be easy to remember.
Nothing permanently on the
books. Okay.
But I'm sure I'll do something.
I'm sure.
Crazy kid.
What do you got? You're moving into a new place soon. So
yeah,
we're
still like more than a month away from physically moving into
That'll
a
sneak
new
up on you, man.
Little house.
Start packing now. Pack
when
a room
move?
A day.
Oh, we have.
Okay, good.
The official date is not set, but it'll be the weekend of like June 25th or 26th.
Okay, so the end of
I
next
believe.
Month.
Okay.
Two
if you need to borrow my truck, you can borrow my truck.
I might
and
ask.
The station truck.
Yeah.
You have a station truck?
The gray one. There's a gray one.
That's what I used when I moved.
Oh, I didn't even remember that. But so, yeah, we'll figure that out. We might need to rent like an actual U-Haul.
A small U-Haul. You shouldn't have that much stuff.
Big stuff. Not really, but it's just like, because we thought about it, like, oh, how could we do this just on our own? But we have enough big pieces that it would be nice to just do it all in one
drive. Absolutely.
Because then you're just, boom, you knocked it out.
Yeah.
And, but no, Haley started packing last night.
Nice.
We got some paint because we get to paint this place. Super excited.
We've moved Betty three times, I think. I've been involved in your moves three times.
My mom still brings up the fact when I was living at their place and you came over to help with moving and you saw Gus for the first time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
Said something like, it's a baby seal or something. Like,
that's great.
Okay, you don't have to fat shame him. He was big.
It's like that Nate Bargatze bit where he's like, you come over and you go, man, your cat's fat. And it's like, hey, I you know the cat doesn't understand you, but we speak English. We do.
Yeah.
It's still rude.
We're offended
Aww.
For him.
The time you helped me move from the second floor down, and then you accidentally hurt yourself on
That's
the couch and
oh,
took
yeah.
yourself out.
That couch was the worst. The last move though, because you were in a smaller place, and I remember thinking, oh, she's got nothing. Like this will be an hour. And then we walked, and you had everything packed. Like you mm-hmm. had done the work,
moved it to the front door,
that was,
and everything.
Yeah,
like
that was
she
a did team a, event right
yeah,
there.
She did a great job setting it up, but boy, I walked in like, wow, you got
oh,
a
I know.
Lot of stuff.
It comes before
yeah,
you realize it.
It
like
is.
You're like I might need 8 boxes.
Yeah.
Oh wait.
Yeah, like you look around and you think, oh, this won't be that. I look at my house and I've been in my house for 8 years. I look at my house and think, oh, this won't be that bad. And then you clean one room and you're like, oh, this is gonna be bad.
Right.
Yeah.
It makes you want to get rid of stuff for sure.
That's what I started doing. Hopefully, I'm hoping to move, but it's just not looking good.
You
gonna
look at any houses?
Nah, I can't. There's nothing out there. Mm-hmm. We're gonna repaint. So I got to call the painter today and do some stuff on.
And
the
Haley's
house, so.
Back in town.
Haley's back. Yeah,
yeah,
we played Mario Kart last night, which is fun. And so, she's oh my gosh, it's good to have her home.
Don't
and she's in a good headspace, you know, which I like. That's all I care about. So. All right, so that's going to do it for your almost record setting aftercast.
How long was it?
36 minutes of aftercast.
You're welcome, Potties.
Guys. All right, we'll do this again on Monday, and we will not talk about my mental health then, I promise.
Unless we
I'm
do.
Done about it.